Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FNF podcast. We've got a big boy episode today. We're going to be doing our collective Euro 2020 26 man squad. I think this is going to be a good one. There'll be a lot of controversy to see. Obviously, Aaron Cresswell is going to be a big talking point today, as well as many others. I'm joined by Gig. Gig, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Could get pretty juicy. No more juicy than what Southgate will put out tomorrow, to be fair, because no doubt there'll be some horrendous decision that one would think. Expect to see Danny Welbeck in there or something just to keep us on our toes.
Adam Lallana probably will. He's ended the season quite well for old Brighton. And I mean, he did score the only goal under Sam Allardyce's reign as England manager as well. So, quality player. Have you got a drink with you, Gig?
I do indeed, yeah. As it's a bit of a showstopper of a podcast, I've got what I believe, wholly subjective, but what I believe to be the best bottle of beer in the world, which is Estrella Damm.
Strong shout.
One would think a huge factor in Sergio Aguero's potential move there, as it is from the sunny shores of Barcelona. But no, no expense spared at this cracker of an episode. The whole £8.40 for eight of them. So,
that is expensive. What is the difference between Estrella Damm and Galicia? Is it just that Galicia is what you get on draft?
Nah, Damm is also draft. I don't know if Galicia is a thing in England, though. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, Galicia isn't Spanish for gluten, is it? Or
no, I don't think so. maybe it is. Ewan, I'm also joined with you it would be the first time in ages, but we've just recorded another one. Little peek behind the curtain there for all our listeners. Ewan, have you got a drink on you?
I do. I've got a gin and tonic at the moment.
Nice. What brand of gin?
Gordon's.
Gordon's, good strong shout. I have got a drink that looks much nicer. It is. I think any listeners would want to see, or anyone on Spotify wants to see that pint glass because I think it's a beauty. But sadly, it has got Budweiser in it. However, there may be some San Miguel in it later, which would be a big upgrade. Anyway, shall we get into the football, boys?
Suppose.
We shall. I believe that is what this is about.
I mean, I would be happy to do a podcast about beer, to be honest, but let's talk about England's... lads. Let's talk about England's goalkeepers first. I'm gonna shoot first. I've gone for, sadly, as Nick Pope will probably be missing the Euros. I've gone for Jordan Pickford, Dean Henderson, and Sam Johnstone. Ewan, I'm assuming you've gone the exact same way.
I have gone the exact same way. And out of then, I think I have come around to, give Pickford the starting position. I was pretty anti-Pickford at the start of the season, maybe, but now it's looking more as if Pope's not there, then I think that he's probably our best bet in what we need him to do.
I think I actually agree with you there. I wouldn't be annoyed if Henderson starts at all, but I also think Pickford is the more likely one to start, even if Pope was there. But Gig, how have you gone? Have you gone the exact same? Have you gone the smart way and put Sam Johnstone as your third choice?
Oh, yeah. I think I'd have Sam Johnstone as my second. I think Henderson's had a couple of tough weeks in a United shirt. Sam Johnstone has started 38 games. That isn't a guarantee, of course, but I just think I'd rely on him a bit more. Henderson will no doubt be a very good goalkeeper for England in years to come, I do think. But for this particular tournament, if I was going for a second choice, I think Sam Johnstone would give me a bit more confidence. I have gone for Pickford as my first choice. Didn't start the season great, and Pope probably would be my first choice if he was fit. But that said, I think this second half of the season... we haven't really heard anything about him. And I think for a goalkeeper, that's not necessarily a bad thing. We know about his shot-stopping credentials. We know he's good with his feet. And the question mark over him is more, I think, mental. A lot of his mistakes are sort of concentration issues, if you know what I mean. Like, he's not had to do anything for 20 minutes and he gets a bit sort of jumpy. But I don't think that's been the case. He has got 10 clean sheets this season in 31 games, which is decent, but they've only conceded 39 in that time as well, which I do think is good. Obviously, the benefit of the 2018 World Cup, I do think Southgate really likes him. Not that that sways me to him particularly. But no, the short back and stomping is gone. and he's now a slick back hair, cool customer. And I'm hoping for a big tournament from him, like we saw in 2018.
Yeah, well, I actually wanted to bring up Pickford's hair because I think he looks gorgeous now, as you sort of mentioned. But yeah, you stole that from me. So I like that we've gone pretty unanimous on the keepers. I mean, no one wants to spend loads of time on them anyway. So on to, should we go left back or right back?
Yeah, first? Left back. Go I left like... back, centre backs, then right back, I think.
So I think everyone will agree that Luke Shaw has been one of the best players in the league this season. Yeah. And I think I would like to hope that he's everyone's starter.
Yeah, for sure.
Gig?
Yeah. I do really like Ben Chilwell. And I think he could maybe feel a little bit hard done by because I think he probably has been England's best left back over a longer period. But I'd probably say that Luke Shaw's been Man U's most consistent performer this season. And finally starting to see the best of him because I think we all sort of knew this talent was there. Obviously had a horrific injury and was pretty poorly treated by Mourinho as well. Very happy for Luke Shaw. I do expect him to be starting.
I think that we'll hope and I think he will start. But have we all gone for Chilwell as well as our second left back, or have we gone for maybe, I don't know, Aaron Cresswell or Matt Target, who's been very closely watched by Southgate over the last 10 games or so of the year?
Or Connor Townsend.
Connor Townsend. I mean, to be fair, he's probably my fifth choice left back for England.
I was.
I'd have one legged James Justin over Connor Townsend.
That's very hard. Connor Townsend's probably been the third best player in the second worst team in the league this season.
Bloody hell.
I did go for Chilwell, although I think there's a very much a strong case for Cresswell as well. I think he's been pretty excellent for West Ham this year. But I think, yeah, Chilwell just about edges it. Even though he's not been playing every minute under Tuchel, I think when he has played, he's impressed. And I think if Shaw needs a break, yeah, give it Chilwell for a bit.
What I think is interesting about what you say about Cresswell is he's had a very quietly good season. Like, I can't think of one thing he's done wrong, but... He's always a solid 7 out of 10, I'd say, about Cresswell.
Mm. A few assists as well, I believe, like seven assists, I think. And Koufal as well has been excellent on the other side.
But I think he's been outshone a bit by Koufal in that Koufal's a new signing. He's a Czech brother of Suchek as well. So it's a bit, I don't know. Maybe he's just not as good to brand.
I was surprised that he, on reflection, that he wasn't your underrated left back in the Prem, I'll be honest, Alex. I think.
I can't remember who I put in now.
Connor Townsend.
Yeah, Aaron Cresswell would have been a much better shout, actually, but I had to go for my baggies roots. But anyway, onto the centre backs, because there's a few baggies players in these ones. Joking. Semi Ajayi is actually Nigerian, sadly. I think we've all gone for the same starters.
Oh, no. Just wait for Gig. But they're both in there.
Shall I name all of my centre-backs that I have chosen?
If you want to.
So I have chosen four centre-backs in my 26-man squad. So I have gone for Harry Maguire and Luke John Stones as my starters. And then my substitute centre-backs are Ezri Konsa and Lewis Dunk.
Ooh. So I've got two of the same as you. Gig, have you at least got Maguire and Stones in your squad?
Yeah. Stones was one of the first names I had in my starting lineup.
But the thing is, like, there needs to be a left-footed centre-back, Ewan. There really needs to be a left-footed centre-back. Sorry, I'm just predicting what Gig's going to say in about 2 minutes.
Because of the lack of options or the lack of form of our left-footed centre-backs, I haven't gone for a left-footed centre-back, but I've gone for a man who has played... He's played at left back and he's played at left centre back and he's played everywhere, and that gives me the confidence that he could play as a left centre back. I've gone for Ben Godfrey.
Understandable.
If you're asking me for who I believe are England's best four centre backs, I probably wouldn't have him in, and I have left out Ezri Konsa, who I would probably put in that bracket. But I think what you've gone for, Alex, I think you've gone for four players the same, effectively. I think you've gone for very good technical players. Not a abundance of pace, though. And for me, John Stones is a nailed-on starter, and he's a very good ball player. He's technical, but you need a bit of pace and a bit of power alongside him. And before, I would have gone for Mings. But recent form, I would worry about him, to be honest. I think Godfrey gives me more confidence. I have got Tyrone Mings on my bench because I've gone for, you know, like for like. So Tyrone Mings, Maguire is my Stones replacement and Mings is my Godfrey replacement, basically.
See, I just think that Mings, he's just not very good. Like, I just straight up don't think he's a that good footballer. I think he's, like...
He's done everything that...
He is better than me, a little bit, yeah.
He's done everything that has been asked of him and more in an England shirt, I would say. I think he is better the more a situation demands for him. And it was nice to see him. It's amazing the lift Jack Grealish...
Wasn't very good against the Baggies.
Good enough, though, wasn't he, I suppose.
Own goal of his was good, yeah.
But it just... Yeah, like... It was the best game he played for months, to be fair, when Grealish came back into the team. He just sort of lifts everyone. And he shouldn't need that, obviously. But no, I do think he's quite a unique player, Mings. I think he benefits from quite a specific set of skills.
A bit like Liam Neeson then.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, 6'5", left-footed and bloody fast, I think makes him a threat. But I mean, is he an international... Centre-back, maybe not, but England aren't blessed with a lot of standout options, I don't think, and that's why I'd at least take him.
See, my issue with what you say about Mings is I get your like-for-like argument almost with Godfrey, but I just don't think he's good enough, and I actually think that doesn't matter too much. Like, I think with England centre-backs, they just need to be good centre-backs. I don't think that how they are on the ball matters greatly, and I don't think that any of the others that we have been talking about are... particularly shit on the ball. So I think... I think that Mings's abilities that you talk about aren't good enough in comparison to how much these other defenders that we're talking about are just better than him.
I just think, like, obviously England aren't going to have one of the great centre-back partnerships, but you think of the great centre-back partnerships and they sort of complement each other, if you know what I mean. Like, Vidic was stick his head anywhere, body on the line, whereas Ferdinand was a bit more technical, bit of a ball player. Maldini and Nesta, that kind of thing. Obviously, it's not going to be to that extent, but I just think you can't just have two of the same. You can't just pick the England's 26 best players aren't going to the Euros, you know what I mean? You've got to find who's good to come off the bench, who's good to play with who, who's going to be nice to have around the squad if they're not maybe playing every game. You know what I mean? It's not just, because Mings wouldn't be there. If I had to pick England's best four centre-backs, Mings wouldn't be there. But Konta probably would. But I think for what we have, I think we need Mings there. I wouldn't start him because his form's not been great for Villa this season. And that's why I've gone for Ben Godfrey as my starter, because I think he's been excellent throughout for Everton.
Okay, Ewan, what's your general view?
Well, so what I'll do is I'll list a few of the names that I won't tell you mine just yet. But I'll list a few of the names that none of us have spoken about, which might cause a bit of controversy. So none of us will have had Michael Keane in there.
No, that's a good shout, actually. Yeah.
None of us with Tarkowski.
Yeah, well, we have talked about him recently, though, me and you.
Yeah. None of us will have had Craig Dawson.
I mean, genuinely... It might be a bit left of field because he's only played sort of the last half of the season, but he's played the last half of the season for West Ham.
Obviously, Joe Gomez and Jack O'Connell have been injured. I think they would have both definitely been up there for me.
Mason Holgate is one that we haven't talked about.
Yeah. but
that's a no.
but the two that I have gone for... drum roll, please.
I'm worried that you haven't mentioned Eric Dier as left out.
Oh, I just completely forgot about him.
Good.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I don't
know if you can hear that drum roll.
Okay, so the people I've gone for, I've gone for Ben Godfrey as well. Okay. And I've also gone for an absolute legend. I've gone for Fakayo Tomori.
I was going to mention him.
good last season, been really good for Milan, broke the jump record, I believe, which is all you need, really. But I just think as backups for Maguire and Stones, I kind of want people that, like, because realistically, this might be people that have to show up in like a World Cup final. I don't believe, like, I think Dunk or I think Keane or someone on their level or Mings, I think, like, yeah, in our group stage games they might be all right, but if I'm putting my money on someone that could actually turn up in, oh, I said World Cup, didn't I, but I mean Euros,
no, like, international final, yeah,
semi-finals or finals, I want someone that's a bit younger, that's got a lot of potential and might give you like the game of their life.
A chance to make a name for themselves on the world stage as well.
Yeah, they've got that potential and that I believe will eventually fulfill their potential, even if they're not like real elite level centre backs now. But I believe they've definitely got the pedigree to be, well, they've got the ability to become that eventually.
You know, I'm very much convinced on your case of Tomori, because he was actually a name I deleted when I realised I was at 28 instead of 26. So I'm very happy to replace him instead of Dunk from me. We're all putting Maguire and Stones in. But let's agree on our starters, first of all. Because, I mean, I feel like Giggs just been unanimously outvoted, though, with two.
Well, I do like Tomori, and I would like to put him in. And I was surprised when Chelsea loaned him out. I thought he's a very bright player, certainly a better player than someone like Christensen and Rudiger at the time, to be fair, although he's come into his own. But I can't put him in on 14 Serie A appearances that I haven't watched. Maybe 14 when I checked. I just think, if I'd have watched them all and he'd been brilliant in all of them, then yes. And for the World Cup next year, if he can continue what he's doing, what it sounds like he's been doing with Milan, who might well buy him, then I probably would take him to the World Cup and very much look forward to watching him play. But I think it might, if he'd been at Milan on loan all season, I just think it's come a little bit too early for him. Perhaps the same with Konda as well. But both excellent players.
Last season, he was pretty good for Chelsea as well.
He was good for Derby, and he was good for Brighton.
That screamer against Wolves as well. So,
yeah, anyone who scores against Wolves is a good player in my book.
Pocketed Ronaldo.
I'll have Tomori in the squad quite happily.
Do we want to go as our sub centre backs, Godfrey and Tomori, and start Maguire and Stones? I feel like that's probably our best compromise.
Maguire will start. He's not overly fit, though, but...
No, that is true.
I'd rather have Tomori and Godfrey than them both. But, I suppose the reality is that Maguire will start because, I don't know, if you feel like he has to because of the name, I think. He's not a bad player, but he's not a brilliant player, I don't think. I don't know. To me, it just sums up England's centre-back problems. I just think there's a lack of standouts. I think John Stones is the best, but he still at times can worry me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Are we happy, though, to put that in as our centre-backs?
Yeah.
To confirm our centre-backs that we're taking to Euro 2020 are Maguire, Stones, Godfrey and Tomori. We move on to the right-back position, which is probably the most controversial across the nation.
And across us three as well.
So my starting right-back is Reece James. And then I have two substitute right-backs of Kieran Trippier and Kyle Walker.
Alex.
Okay, go on then, Ewan. Is it because I've not chosen TAA in any of them?
You have to take Trent with you. And I presume now I'm going to get outvoted, but it's an absolute blasphemy to not take Trent to the Euros. Since being left out, he's been absolutely fantastic. He's got, what, 8 assists this season again?
Well, keep leaving him out then.
just make his game elevated. He's the best right back in the world. I'm with you. I'm taking three right backs, but I'm going Trent, Walker, and then I'm taking Trippier as the man that can fill in at right back or left back.
Gig, what about you?
I've got Ben Godfrey can cover left back for me. I've got someone else who could play left back or left wing back if needs be on my bench. Spoilers. Kyle Walker is my starter. I think he's been back to his best this season, and if his pace alone, although we might have better defenders, I think his pace alone probably makes him best equipped to deal with someone outrageous. Although Mbappe wouldn't necessarily be down that channel, someone like that. I think his pace is frightening, Kyle Walker. I thought he was outstanding in the second leg of the Champions League semi-final. I thought he was arguably City's best player. And just sort of been there and done it. Kieran Trippier is my backup, someone who we can have as a wing back. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think he's played like half of his, at least 10 games as a right mid this season though. And I don't know if that's good for versatility or it doesn't, I don't know. But 16 clean sheets and 6 assists in 28 games in La Liga. His performances at the 2018 World Cup as well will stand him in good stead, I think, because Southgate does seem quite loyal to that group of players, naturally. I do like Reece James, and I think it epitomises our options at right back that I haven't gone with him. I think Lamptey is another one. If he'd have played the second half of the season, he'd have been in there for me, certainly if he'd continued that form. But I have gone for Matty Cash as my third right back.
I
just think he's so, like, considering it's his first season in the Premier League, he's amazed me. He's got more clean sheets than Kyle Walker and Reece James in the games that they've played in. Obviously, he's required to defend more, but he outperforms Kyle Walker in every defensive stat, and Reece James only outperforms him in one, which is aerial duels. Most interceptions per 90 of any English right-back, and I think England aren't going to beat teams with 60, 70% possession, and there are times where we're going to be under the cosh. And Kyle Walker is probably the leading one for it because of his experience, but I think in terms of doing defensive dirty work, I think Matty Cash is as good as anyone. And I think he poses a threat going forward that people don't necessarily give him the credit for. When he does go forward, in terms of the accuracy of his crosses, for the ratio of crosses he puts in, because he doesn't put 10 crosses a game in like certain English right-backs, I think he's always effective.
Even if the success rate is higher for that certain English right-back.
Well, in terms of the cross getting to a man, but in terms of actual assists, I don't see it. Kyle Walker is my starting, and then Trippier and Cash.
Who's your starting, Ewan?
My starting is Trent, any day of the week.
Okay, so this is the problem where...
It's obvious Walker and Trippier are in there for all of us. So
yeah,
Walker's starter... Trippier's okay. On the bench. And then I say what we do with the third spot for a right back, we wait for the rest of the 26, because this will be sort of one of the last filler people, if you know what
I mean. Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's a nice way of doing it.
Cash has missed the last three games because he's not really talked about as a Euro prospect. We don't know the longevity of his injury, really. I don't know if it's something that will carry on for a while or not. That might be a factor.
But also the fact that he's not played for England yet.
Yeah, but
just not as good as the other potentially world-class right-backs that we have.
But Jordan Pickford hadn't played a game for England before the 2018 World Cup, you know what I mean? It's not a short
Reece James is the most rounded right-back that England have, and I think he's our best one.
I think he's a big, strong boy with a half-decent cross, and I do think he'll be a very good player. One-on-one defending, though, I think he leaves a bit to be desired, which is understandable of a lad of his age, I suppose. I'd sooner go James than Trent, make no mistake about it. But
interesting. None of us have gone with Wan-Bissaka.
I don't think we see him in that spot, because I think we all know that Wan-Bissaka can defend really well, but that's kind of it. And maybe that is actually what England needs if we are going to be getting to the semi-finals and finals, and you're going to come up against teams like France. But I don't know. I really like
Wan-Bissaka, to be fair.
I think he's great, but I just think that we've got better.
I think second half of the season he's been excellent for Manu, and he's a very strong defender. I think I partially didn't pick him because I know Southgate won't. He just seems to wholeheartedly have done everything he can to have not have picked him. He's a fantastic defender and similar to Cash, I suppose, maybe a little bit better going forward than people give him credit for, although it's not the outstanding attribute in his game.
I think his final third play is very poor.
I always feel like if when he does go forward, he doesn't lose the ball. He might not do something spectacular, but he knows when to go forward. And I feel like he might not whip a perfect ball in, but you don't see him like mess up in the final third. I don't think.
I don't know. There's been quite a few moments, but then I guess everyone, if you nitpick any moments from anyone, then there's always going to be that. So we'll leave that space clear as someone will bring in, and we'll look at what position we want to pick that in. But because it's not particularly unanimous or anything, we'll wait until we've got some more players in the squad.
Okay, but Walker and Trippier to do that are too. Yeah, so I've gone for just such a big, stronger Yorkshire contingent in my defence, really. Godfrey, Stones, and Walker. But that's just how I like my men, you know what I mean? So
boys, on to the midfielders. Now we're gonna go we're just gonna call them midfielders because they do pretty similar jobs. We've all got six, yeah. So I'm going to read out my six, and then I'm not going to tell you who I'm starting as well?
Start. We'll go with the more defensive midfielders first and see if we've got agreement in them. I feel like we should have some agreement in that.
So I've gone for... Oh, I'm so torn, actually. I still might take one. I would say my more defensive midfielders, I have Rice, Bellingham and Henderson.
Are you considering Bellingham as a defensive mid?
Well, he's a bit box to box, isn't he? But that's I would say Rice is my only defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
I think Henderson and Bellingham could do that job.
I've gone for Rice, Phillips, and Henderson.
Okay, Phillips is a completely fair shout. Who have you gone for, Guy?
Phillips, Bellingham, and Ward-Prowse.
Ward-Prowse was one I'd swap out at
no
the last
Declan
minute.
No Declan Rice.
Doesn't do it for me.
Wait, so did you say Phillips, Henderson and Ward-Prowse?
Phillips, Bellingham and Ward-Prowse.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you now, I've also got Bellingham, but I wasn't considering him in that.
Okay.
Like, I guess, yeah.
My attacking-ish midfielders are Foden, Mount and Madison.
I've gone.
Have you got Foden as a week as a wing? Has anyone got Foden as a winger and not on a?
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah.
I've gone for like sort of more. Well, I guess Rice and Phillips are maybe you more defensive ones. Henderson and Bellingham as you more sort of box to box or eights, and then like sort of Mount and Grealish doing a similar thing as well.
Okay, so I've got Grealish as a winger, so I'm happy to swap Grealish and Foden.
Yeah, then I'm. Or unless Gibbs also got Grealish as a winger.
I know, I've got Grealish as a 10. I've got Madison and Mount as my other attacking.
Okay, so I've got the exact same as Gig then, because I'll just happily put Foden on the wings. Because I think Foden and Grealish are pretty interchangeable. So my starting team is going to then be, my starting midfield is going to be Rice, Bellingham, Grealish.
Wow, that is controversial.
As a 2-3 or a 3?
As a like a 1-1-1 almost. Obviously, it would be set their roles would be different to their shape. Like their shape would be sort of centre midfielders and attacking midfield, but Rice would sit a lot more and Bellingham would be very box to box. And then really.
Oh, so you've gone for like the 4-3-3-4 on FIFA. Would you say?
Yes, the 4-3-3-4
in the count. Yeah, I'm with you now.
Yeah. The right side gets to slightly hold back, and Bellingham can just run up and down in straight lines. Grealish can literally just do whatever he wants in my team. Where Grealish stands is the right place, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Ewan, what have you gone
for? So I've gone for Rice as a holding. And then on the right centre midfield is Henderson. But now that Trent's not necessarily the starter in our joint team, maybe it wouldn't be Hendo. But I feel like that would work extremely well. And then the left side, I'd let him push up a little bit more. I've gone for Mount.
Okay. I completely
That is so vanilla.
Understand Mason Mount. And I would happily sort of have Mount in my sort of box to box role, even though I know it's not really what he plays, but I think he could do
Well, he did it for the first half of the season. Under Lampard he was
So I would happily have that instead of Bellingham, however, I think Bellingham is better.
Mount's a better player than Bellingham right now.
Yeah, but the thing is also, I think Jude Bellingham could be one of England's key players over the next 12 years. I'd rather just get him as much experience in an England shirt as possible. But yeah, Gig, what have you gone for?
So I went for a 4-2-3-1. I went Calvin Phillips holding with Bellingham and Grealish in the 10 role. I think, yeah, I don't know. I think... Jude Bellingham has got more than enough ability to play as a holding midfielder. But even if you have doubts about his defensive abilities, I look at the role that Calvin Phillips does for Leeds and he's, I mean, I suppose they play a different formation a lot, but like if that 4-1-4-1 is, I suppose, what you think of them as their go-to, and he's pretty much on his own in holding that midfield, I would say. So I would back him to do the job. I think he's been phenomenal for Leeds. They've had a lot of good players this season, naturally, when you look at where they're finishing the league, but I think he's the most important one without Ness always being outstanding. That being said, I think his passing range is a lot better than a lot of England midfielders. Very strong in the tackle, has played as centre-back as well, so I think you can sort of see his defensive capabilities from that. And we'll only get better. Yeah, I think I had my doubts about him, but I think he's been a revelation. And then, it's just the calibre of Jude Bellingham. It doesn't even slightly annoy me that he's from... that he came from Blues' academy because he's that good. And you can almost see why they made a statue of him so early because he's that good a player. Already won the Pokal Champions League quarter finalist. And he's just excellent. I don't think England are blessed with a great deal of creativity, which is why I've left out Rice and Henderson. In terms of like further back, not up front.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But in terms of like taking the ball on the half turn, taking it off your centre backs and playing through the lines and stuff. These are the two I would lean towards, definitely.
I was going to say, we've all agreed on Bellingham, Mount and Grealish. They're in all three of ours, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all in our squads. I think personally we have to agree that Bellingham starts because I think he's probably the one that me and Gig feel the most strongly about.
I'm not completely against Bellingham starting. If Walker's starting, then I'd be happy to go Rice, Bellingham and Mount.
I don't know,
because then no Jack Grealish. You're playing Mason Mount over Jack Grealish.
For the first few games and get Grealish on for the first half an hour and see how it goes. For the last half an hour and see
how
it goes. And then...
I'm not wildly against that. I just wouldn't do it. At Mason Mount, the benefit of Mason Mount, if you know what I mean. Similar to what you said, Alex, I think Jack Grealish is the one where I don't know if it's because he plays in a slightly weaker team, but when your team's in trouble, he'll be like, yeah, give me the ball, like, and he can carry a team on the back. He won't need to do that for England, I would hope, but and I just think it is the toughest place to play in football, number 10 role, and he could play left wing or right wing. But I just, as brilliant as Foden is, I just wouldn't trust him in a 10 role at international level yet. I think when we've seen the best of him is when he's afforded a bit more space out on the left and sometimes the right. I think Grealish, a couple of weeks ago I wouldn't have put him in because of missing the games, but then you look at how he played against Tottenham, his first start for 3 months, and it was like he'd never been away. He was outstanding. And on name alone, at the minute, he can just attract defenders to him. And there are some other players like that for England, naturally, but I just think he frees up so much other space. Like Watkins, Traore play so much better when Grealish is playing, partly because of the service, but partly because they have the space, because three or four people can go around Jack Grealish. And if you give Foden and Sterling, spoilers, that kind of space, or Sancho, Rashford, Harry Kane, then I think we could have a field day, potentially.
See, I agree with you on a lot of that. My main issue with Grealish not starting is that I think he's much more of a just a big game player than Mason Mount. I think Grealish is definitely the one that, even if we're playing against France or Spain or Portugal or Belgium.
We saw against Belgium in the, yeah.
I think he is the one who is going to win us that game more so than Harry Kane necessarily, because I think he is the one who, I don't think the occasion ever affects him. And I don't think he gives a fuck who he's playing against. Jack Grealish, like, he's the kind of bloke who just, he's got so much self-belief and kind of, I think, just so much raw ability. And like, also, this is a West Brom fan. I don't want to talk about Jack Grealish this well, but I really think he is one of England's best players. And I think to not start him over Mason Mount, as much as I think Mason Mount's great, I just don't think he's as good.
I think Mason Mount has been absolutely fantastic this season.
Yeah, no, so do I.
Absolutely fantastic.
So do I, mate. I think he is a really good footballer, but he's not as good as Jack Grealish.
I don't know, like, yeah, Jack Grealish has been mercurial this year, but it's 20 good games. Like,
more than that.
Yeah, but look, the extent of the 20 and the entirety of last season as well in a very, very poor team.
Yeah, but
he kept
but
in the league.
Meechu's done this before.
No,
oh,
not.
No, come on, Ewan.
Key passes, chances created. He was top in Europe before his injury.
I'm very much there. There's not too much between Mount and Grealish for me. I think I just sort of I back Mount a little bit more.
I'm pretty sure Mason Mount has only got 11 goal contributions this season.
Yeah, but his key passes are ridiculous, and he has been absolutely exceptional.
The one thing
he was playing as an eight for the vast majority of the season.
The one thing I would say is, for me, Foden has to start more so than Grealish because of recent form, and I don't think Foden and Mount can play together. I think they tried to take the ball in the same areas, and although it was only a brief time where they played together for England, it just didn't really click. And they might develop a relationship. They're both very young, and they're both going to be around the England setup for a while. But I just, yeah, I think
I do see people getting in each other's way, especially if you're like, well, we'll play Mount and Grealish as eights, and then play Foden off the left,
and then
Kane up front. I just think,
So what are we going to finalise as our starting midfield then? I think Rice, Bellingham, Grealish, I'm so happy with.
I'm happy with that. I think.
Yeah, I'd accept it. Are we having it as a two and a one or a three there?
I think a two and a one.
I'd like to go. Well,
a 1-2.
I'd go a 1-2, but then it's sort of like, I guess it'll just end up as a 2-1. But
yeah, I think it just needs to be fluid, to be honest.
Like you say, with Grealish, it'll be a free roam.
100%.
It's just whether we're playing 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, really.
Yeah, it is. Although I'm assuming that we've all got the exact same front three.
No, I doubt it.
Oh, actually, wait, we haven't finished off who the rest of our centre midfielders are.
My others then are Phillips, Henderson. I think even with his injury, I think if he's fit, Henderson has to be there. Like, he's almost like worthy of being England captain for me. I think he's excellent leader, phenomenal to have around the place. And I think if you need anyone to come in and do anything, like Henderson could step up and play anywhere for you. Like, if you wanted someone as like a backup at fullback or centre back, I'm sure you could tell Jordan Henderson, go do that, and he'd do it.
He'll do it to the best.
We'll take Milner in that case, but
no, I do see where Ewan's coming from. I would like to say that I'm pretty sure we're all agreeing that Mason Mount has to go to the Euros. So let's put him as that.
Yeah. And absolutely, Phillips as well, I believe. I think we all said Phillips.
I feel like
put Phillips in, but I am not opposed to put Phillips in. But then also, like, James Maddison, are we not making James Maddison?
I'd push for Maddison quite hard. I think he's brilliant. But
so are you pushing for Maddison over Henderson then?
I would. So. See, I've got both, but I would much rather take Maddison. However, though, we will have spare positions, I reckon, by the end. So maybe we could.
We do the attackers. For me, Madison's a fringe player. I think he's sort of dependent on what we've got left. He could potentially slip in. But I think it would be a big mistake.
I disagree, though, because if Grealish gets injured or something, you bring in Mount to do Grealish's role. But then you've got nothing to bring on if Madison's not there. Like, you can't, unless you maybe bring
in
someone.
I think Madison
would
do a better job as a 10 than Mount
Mason
as well.
Yeah.
I think he's far more.
It does also depend on what forwards you bring.
I think he covers a lot of the praise from Mount is sort of his work rate and stuff. I think James Maddison covers a lot of ground. Sometimes Leicester play a 3-4-3 and he can slot in as an 8. He's got 8. He's had a bit of a stop-start season with injury. He's still got 15 goal contributions in the Prem. I think he averages one every
more than Mason Mount.
140 minutes. He's just a bit cooler. Set-piece option for sure. I think Mason Mount is an erratic finisher at best, to be honest. That isn't like the whole point of the game, I know, but I just think Maddison brings a lot more. He's a bit more creative. I think Mount gets the ball in some very good areas, as we've said. But I don't know. He's not one or the other for me, Mount. I don't think he's a strong enough one-on-one defender to play as an 8. And I don't think he's good enough in the final third to play as a 10, personally. But I would take him because he's on such a high at the minute. He's having such a brilliant season, seemingly.
There has been moments where we've been watching Chelsea together, and Mason Mount has done a fair few things, and you've generally been like, who was that?
Yeah. I knew it was Mount from the start, and it doesn't skew. I can admit when Trent puts an amazing ball in, but my argument is like the other 85 minutes of the game, you know what I mean?
Mount is Mr. Consistently very good. I'm not saying that he's the most outrageous player. I don't think he's going to be Foden or Sancho, potentially challenger for Ballon d'Ors. I just think Mount always gives you like an 8. I think he's always an 8. Like, you can rely on him to perform in every game.
Consistently
and perform,
play
like,
well.
Very well, yeah.
Mm. Okay, well, the thing is, right, I think we'll all agree that we have to take Mount. I haven't put Phillips in my team, but I would happily take Calvin Phillips because he was sort of like, for me, I think I'll happily take Phillips. I would rather not take Henderson, though, and then put Maddison in the team as the 6.
I'd have my doubts about Henderson if he'd been playing. The fact he hasn't played a game of football for 3 months, I don't really see how you can take him. I appreciate he's done some very good things off the field with the Premier League captains and uniting them and stuff like that. But I always, for me personally, if I think of a leader in that Liverpool team, I think of Van Dijk. I don't think of Jordan Henderson.
I completely agree with you.
I think there's
other leaders in that England team as well. I think Harry Maguire and Harry Kane are both more so leaders.
Kyle Walker is a big character. Sterling has recently captained City.
I mean, Jack Grealish and Phil and Jack Grealish and Mason Mount are both back big characters in that team as well as James Maddison
and Declan Rice.
I don't think the character thing really helps Henderson's case because I don't think that this England team hasn't got personality in it.
Well, I definitely think we've got personality, but I just think
that's what I think.
I think Henderson elevates everyone. I think Henderson elevates the England team for me. But if I'm overruled, I'm overruled.
I just don't think you can elevate them if he's not going to play. And I can't see how much he's going to play. He just won't have had any football.
Yeah, and also say you're Jack Grealish and his like best mate is James Maddison. And if Henderson's there and he's thinking, oh, Madders could have been here instead of you and you're not even going to play because you've not played for the last 3 months.
I don't think you can pick off that.
I think those kind of things definitely. They're people at the end of the day. People will think those kind of things. People are petty.
One of my gripes and one with that I would hope would hold more weight is that although it was a very good midfield, Henderson was sort of part of that team that got given the runaround by Croatia in the semi-final. And for me, it's just like, right, I couldn't have Rice and Henderson in the same team. I think it's the same problem. It's just too passive. You'll probably concede less, but the chance of you winning the game are smaller than if you go for someone like Bellingham, I think. And it's knockout football. You've got to take that risk to win the games. You need someone who can play in between the lines. And
Jordan Henderson also missed a penalty in the World Cup.
The only one.
Yeah, hold that against
the
him.
Only. Well, no, but he crumbled under pressure.
I've only kind of missed it. What have I done?
But then some of our arguments for defence were about, we need to be sort of holding back and win. Like your argument for cash then doesn't quite work along that philosophy.
If you're under the cosh, but then you've got to be able to play your way out of them situations as well. And I think if you're under the cosh with Rice and Henderson, you stay under the cosh because you've got no way of getting out.
You don't counter-attack with Rice and Henderson as your two centre midfielders. Like, it just doesn't happen. You'll boot it out for throw-ins a lot and overplay a lot of passes, but you won't, like, say if you've got Mount or Grealish Bellingham.
I think that's particularly harsh on Henderson and Rice.
No, I think that we put our six midfielders as Rice, Bellingham, Grealish, Mount, Phillips and Maddison.
Yeah, that is fine.
I'm okay with that.
And we might come back to it.
We might come back to it. And if there's a spare spot, then maybe Harvey Barnes will get in there as well.
But who's our starting?
Jaylings. Oh, we haven't said anything about this.
No, I did want to say we haven't mentioned
Jaylings. With good reason.
He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, but...
He has been good, but there's just so many better players. Many Newcastle and Arsenal fans have been saying Joe Willock should be going as well.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Jesse Lingard has genuinely done like similar to what Grealish was doing at the start of the season.
Over 10 games, not 20.
Yeah,
in terms of goal contributions, but in terms of actual weight on a game.
He has had some exceptional weight on a game.
I mean, but the thing is as well, Ewan, what you've got to remember is that Grealish has played for England this season and been really good for England this season, whereas Jesse Lingard hasn't played for England since 2018. And while he was all right, he wasn't like it's. I think you can't, like, as much as I get why people want Lingard, I just think there's so many better players.
I do worry that he will get picked, partly because of 2018. And if he gets picked over, I'm not a big Mason Mount fan, but I think if he gets picked over Mason Mount, it is. And
he won't.
James Maddison as well. Oh, no, he won't, but like. And even Maddison as well.
He could get picked over Maddison, to be fair, but I think that would be a big shame.
Yeah, I think
it would be a big shame.
I probably think it will happen.
I think he'll go over Maddison. I'd be so annoyed if he went over Grealish. My God.
I think that it will probably, there'll also be an extra defender in there at the expense of some of these players. Or a few extra defenders.
I mean, Eric Dier will probably go as well, which is shocking.
I don't think Dier will. I think it will be Maguire, Stones, Mings, and then maybe Cody.
But then Dier was in someone else squad, weren't he? And he wasn't even starting for Tottenham.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different debate, isn't it? Like what Southgate will pick and what we will pick. But
yeah, that's a different podcast, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So, okay. So our six midfielders for now have been slotted in. Shall we move on to our wingers, or are we going strikers?
I think we just go
wingers and strikers. I'd say.
I've put them down on my phone as forwards, to be honest.
That's just a lot, though.
Yeah, that is a lot, Alex. That's a little bit rough.
I mean, yeah, but sometimes they're interchangeable.
All right. So for now, should we go for four wingers? Our first four wingers and our first two strikers, and then we can fill in after that, because I think that'll get us to 23. And then we got the three extra.
Okay.
I think I've got a lot of wingers. Yeah. I think I've got five wingers and three strikers.
I've got strikers and four wingers. I've got more than that. I think I've got five wingers.
I'd say go for your first four wingers, and we'll then do our first two strikers, and then we'll fill in around that. We'll get them mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll have four wingers nailed on, sort of thing. The first four, yeah.
Okay, so my four wingers are It was Grealish, but Foden, because, yeah. Foden, Sancho, Rashford, Sterling.
Yeah.
Mine are Sancho, Foden. Yeah, exactly the same.
Yeah. And I think we're all starting Foden and Sancho.
I was contemplating it, but I think that that might be a little bit too bunched up, and I'd potentially go for Rashford as someone that's could be a bit more direct.
I know what you mean, but I think in terms of just numbers of goals and assists, Foden and Sancho both beat Rashford, and I think that they're more so big game players than Rashford is as well.
I don't know. Is UCL games this season? I think I would, like okay. five goals rather, and two assists in, or six goals.
I'd rather
and
Foden
assist.
Play. I'd rather Foden play than Sancho, though. Like, if you're gonna take Foden is England's like second best player. Like,
yeah. Sancho is the first winger on the team sheet for me by far.
Yeah, Gig, what have you said?
This is the one that caused me the most problems. As I said, I do think Phil Foden has to start on form. Like Ewan said, though, I think Sancho is brilliant. And I did have my, not doubts, but I was hesitant to sort of jump on the bandwagon after a couple of seasons, if you know what I mean. Like, I wanted to see more from him, and he's had another season. I think he's got 21 goal contributions in about 28 games this season in Bundesliga. I guess a ridiculous amount of assists as well. Like, you'd think he'd be more goal heavy, but I just think, yeah, I think
like I, mean, I think he does play with Erling Haaland, but then he's
yeah,
be
I think of the best
the Euros.
I think of like probably the best England performance under Gareth Southgate was Spain away, and you think of like Harry Kane dropping deep and Rashford and Sterling bombing on, and that sort of pace that Ewan's talking about. I do think that is more so now as well with the. With the assist that Kane's got, I think that could be the way forward. And Sterling, I did go for Foden. I thought he sort of picked himself, but then the Sterling or Sancho was the one that gave him the biggest headache. A fully fit Marcus Rashford in form, he would have been in the mix as well, but I think he still had a very good season, but I think just doesn't look quite as sharp as he maybe has done. But I did, in the end, go for Raheem Sterling in what has been deemed to be a bad season, although some have said that about Sancho as well, in fairness. He's still got 26 goal contributions in 48 games. But I don't know, in a team, I think he's, along with Kane, the only world-class player we've got. I think in a team that rotates so much because of City's depth, he's only been brought off the bench 17 times in the last five Premier League seasons, which I think shows his importance, which is recently been reflected, been given the captain's armband as well. I think a lot does depend on the weekend. If he starts in the Champions League final, then I would definitely start him. But if Pep views him as in not good enough form to start the Champions League final, then I probably would go with Sancho. But he's still been a key player this season. He started 31 games, and we know how easily they've won the league. But yeah, in his So from 2017 to 2020, in those three seasons before this season, he's got 55 goals and 22 assists in 100 Premier League starts, which is ridiculous for me. And as ridiculous as Sancho's numbers are, it is harder in the Premier League. And I have that assurance with Sterling that I feel like I know he's going to perform regardless of his form. Whereas Sancho, I think he's got 18 caps, which surprised me, but I just haven't really seen anything of him in an England shirt yet. I think he's a bit par player, and he's probably been underused by Southgate. But yeah, I mean, a bit of bias perhaps, but when Grealish and Sancho played together for England, I thought Grealish was the standout by far. I think Sancho hadn't played a lot of football, in fairness, but I don't know, there's certain times where I think form is temporary, class is permanent, and Sancho will be unbelievable. But I just think Sterling has been too good a player for too long for him not to start. For me,
I mean, I'd argue that about Sancho. I know obviously Foden's in great form at the moment, but even then, Sancho has been in that type of form for three seasons. It's not form, it is class.
Foden is so good. Foden has to start. Like, if we're arguing Rashford, Sterling, or Sancho, Foden has to be in that team.
I disagree.
I think so. Sancho this season,
his Premier League played, played
26, had 11. He played 26 in he's had 19 goal contributions. Like, that is outstanding. And he's been injured and started off really slow. Had a strange start of the season, as did a lot of people with this COVID time period, and also thought he was going to get his move to Man U, which didn't happen. For me, Sancho's our second best player, and I think he has to start. He's been putting up world class numbers for the past three seasons.
I'd drop out Foden for over Sterling. I think I do see what you're saying. I think as brilliant as I think Foden is, and he's so talented, like, I think he's got 8 goals and 5 assists in the Premier season. You know what I mean? And I know numbers aren't everything, but I think when you've got the numbers being posted of Sterling, Rashford and Sancho, like, you would maybe expect it a bit more. I do think this second half of the season he's been outstanding. He's been one of City's best players. But I think in what's been a quiet season probably for Marcus Rashford, I think he's still got 30 goal contributions. So it definitely does hold a lot of weight, definitely more so than it did as well.
I was very much like unsure on who I'd have to start. I think it was Kane and Sancho were my two, and then I was like looking at who else I've got. I probably want someone that's that is a bit more direct and will take more shots. And I thought that out of the other options, it would probably be Rashford, the one that get behind, run onto the balls and sort of bam bam get some goals.
We are at a crossroads, aren't we?
We are very
okay. I would be happy to drop Foden for Sancho and Sterling, but yeah, not Rashford.
I'd agree.
So are we going to go Sancho and Sterling then?
Sancho and Sterling as wingers. I don't really think it matters which side they're on. I think they're both versatile enough that they can choose themselves. Go
Sancho on the right and Sterling on the left for me. But
Sterling can play either side, but I think it would make more sense for him to be on the left being right-footed.
Mm. I think Sancho generally plays more on the right as well. Okay, and so strikers now, boys. I've taken three. And I've taken...
Give us your top two.
Okay, my top two are Harry Kane and Danny Ings.
I have also gone for the same. I've gone Harry... Although, it's... No, yeah, Harry Kane and Danny Ings.
Harry Kane and Danny Ings, yeah. Gig?
Well, the other two are there for different reasons, I would say. I mean, if Harry Kane gets injured, one, I would be more confident in to start, but there's one I'd bring off the bench.
More?
Yeah.
You'd rather bring someone off the bench? Fair enough.
Obviously I've gone for Kane. Top goal scorer and top assist, yeah, picks himself, obviously. Captain as well. I assume you've both come for him as captain.
Henderson's there.
Yeah, well, on field captain. I'll go for Callum Wilson as my second striker then.
Ooh, I know
where you're coming from.
I get it, but I think the season that Danny Ings has had, and the like, Danny Ings, I think, is just a better version of Callum Wilson, to be honest.
I think
we'd all agree that Danny Ings is our second best non-retired striker. I think.
As a player, Danny Ings is the second best. But if Harry Kane comes off after 110 minutes, not that you bring him off, but say if he tweaks a hamstring or something, God forbid.
That would be the worst thing.
I don't see what Danny Ings would offer you, whereas like Callum Wilson brings pretty. Okay.
Danny Ings has got close control. He's got pace. He can win things in the air, considering he's only about 5'10", and he's a much more clinical finisher than
He's just not explosive. He's had injury troubles, as has Callum Wilson, to be fair. But it's just like he's not had a bad season by any means, but it's been a bit stop start. If you'd have had the Euros at the end of last season when they were meant to be, he'd be absolutely on there as a backup. But Callum Wilson, I think, has been outstanding for Newcastle this year, and probably because it's Newcastle and they don't play brilliant football, has probably been gone under the radar a little bit. 12 goals and 5 assists in 29 games. But of the 9 games that he missed, Newcastle only won 2 games, and they were against Sheffield United and Fulham. I think we talk about St. Maximin as an outstanding player for him, which he is, but I think Wilson is becoming of that bracket. And I do think, as much sort of unhappiness there is around Steve Bruce, I think as long as Newcastle have got St. Maximin and Callum Wilson, they'll be absolutely fine. I always liked him at Bournemouth, and I think has had a couple of shocking knee injuries, which have prevented him doing better, but he's still got a very good return. I think he's just a bit sharper than Ings. Like Danny Ings, as I said, I think as an all-round package is probably better, but if we're taking someone to play second fiddle and come off the bench and make an impact, then Callum Wilson would be my first port of call.
Yeah, I think...
just fundamentally disagree with that. Sorry,
Ewan. I can't imagine there'd be a game where we really want to take Kane off. But let's say... maybe we switch it up and go more to a slightly different formation and take maybe one of the midfielders off to add a bit more attacking firepower if we're in need of a goal. Do we see a team where Kane and Ings could like work together, or does that not work? Do we need someone like Wilson instead, or someone like Watkins maybe?
Can I just quickly say though, right? If we're going for something to bring on, right, and you're not taking Harry Kane off because Harry Kane hasn't got injured, the only reason you would change is if there's 10 minutes to go and we kind of have no other choice to route one. And that's when you need that's when DCL has to be the person who was my third choice.
DCL's the same player as Kane, he's just not as good.
No, he's a bit more aerial. But yeah, that's the thing. The fact is, who's more likely to win a header to flick it on to knock someone through on goal? DCL or Wilson or Ings?
I think by that point, you don't have two
target men on, do you? You one big and one little.
You not seen Burnley?
Well,
if there's 10 minutes to go and you just need to win headers,
just get Maguire to go.
Yeah, but someone's got to get on the end of them. Like,
they're not going to both go for the same header.
Yeah, but it's like Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips, you know what I mean? Like, two of the best, you know
great
what I mean?
Example to be
yeah, like, one of the
phenomenal example.
Like, FIFA 15, I had Anthony Modeste and Serge Gnabry, and the amount of goals I scored, one big and one little, and, like, you don't have two absolute units. Even Burnley is they're both big people, but Jay Rodriguez off Chris Wood and Matteo Vidra off Chris Wood. Maybe not Ashley Barnes.
Pablo Angel off John Carew.
I don't think they actually played together, to be fair, but I see what you're going. Carew and Agbon Hall, maybe, but
yeah,
we played better football than that, so, you know.
Crouch and Waters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I can completely agree. I get your point, Gig, that you don't necessarily want two target men, and concede the fact that sometimes Burnley don't play two target men, or two big men, even. I do think if Mikel Antonio was eligible, he could definitely be in there with a chance of a sub shout. And I also think that it would potentially be made a whole lot easier if Vardy was still playing internationally. I know there's been parts this season we've been like, has he gone a little bit? And at the start, he was banging in penalties, and I thought maybe. But then recently, he's began to impress again, I think, for me.
I mean, we haven't talked about Danny Sturridge, to be fair.
Yeah.
He's been great for... Is it Trabzonspor he's playing for now?
Well, not anymore. I think he had a ban for gambling or match fixing or something.
Yeah, I forgot that.
He's not in there. However, I do think that we're going to end up bringing in three strikers, like us.
I think we have to agree with three strikers.
And so if we're going for three, my three would be Kane, Ings, and then I think I'd go for Greenwood.
Oh, yeah, no. Greenwood was in mine, actually. Yeah, I want Greenwood.
But Gig, you give us your 2 cents on that.
I'd absolutely take Greenwood, but not as the third striker.
Well, he can play in any position.
Well, yeah, he could certainly cover there, but could cover there good enough for a major tournament? I don't think so. I think he's played all his best football for Man U out on the right.
Well, that I think that would be it for me. It'd be the right hand cover, but he could also cover at striker if we need.
And hold midfield. And if he was a holding midfield, attacking midfield. Sorry, yeah.
As a 10?
No.
Okay, no, he could do it as a 10.
We've already got Foden, Grealish, Mount, and Madison. We don't need another 10.
But if it was a 23-man squad, then I'd be having Greenwood, as you say, as like a cover for right wing and striker. But I think, because of the luxury of an extra three players, I'd just take him as a right winger. I think in terms of natural talent, I'd probably say he leads the way for England. I think his finishing is unbelievable, off both feet as well. But no, my third striker, but the man who, if Harry Kane were to get injured, the man I'd want starting would be Ollie Watkins. I do get it. The best pressing centre forward in the league. Also, he's first in the Premier League, 14 goals, 5 assists. And I know you could say it's about a lot of people, but probably should have had more. Hit the woodwork 7 times, had 2 of the tightest VAR calls given against him that you will see. I would expect him to get 20 goals next season, and I think he has the potential to get around 25. I mean, you don't pick him based on that, but just every game I watch him, I like him more and more. I think he's been outstanding for Villa. At times, when Grealish has been missing, I think he's the one who's been closest to standing up and wanting to be the main man. Although we have lacked that sort of bit of spark, I think he's been the one who's continued to do well. He's had the odd drought here and there, but he's one of those players who can still have a fantastic game and not score. His work off the ball, we all know, is unbelievable. Decent in the air for a lad of thinking about 5'11", and then just a lot of pace as well. I think he's the all-round package, really.
Yeah, no, I completely get Watkins. I really understand it.
I do see where you're coming from. I think for me, it definitely is. I'm of the ilk that if Kane doesn't start, it's got to be Danny Ings for me.
I agree with you, and though. And I get what Geek's saying, Watkins, but I think Ings is definitely the man to lead the team if it's not Kane.
And I don't know, like, I feel like that's sort of why Ings has to be there. But then it's like, as we've sort of said, or come to the conclusion, why would there be a minute of football, unless we're already winning by quite a lot, that you don't want Harry Kane to be on the pitch? Like,
yeah.
It's like, should you be basing it on, like, oh, just in case he gets injured? Or should you be like, okay, who's going to add to Harry Kane? Because you'd think that likelihood is we wouldn't take him off.
You're not going to take Harry Kane off unless you have to take Harry Kane off. Or we're winning 3-0.
I think I'd be pretty happy with Ings and Watkins as the backups, to be fair. I wouldn't have too much issue with that. But as I say, I just think Wilson is that bit more explosive, a little bit quicker than Watkins as well, although Watkins is obviously no slouch. But I'm happy to go for Ings and Watkins, if that's what you're happy with. I think Bamford's had a really good season, but then
Bamford hasn't got a good enough conversion rate for me.
Sure, but he has had a great season. I don't think there's really that much difference for me between, like, Bamford or Watkins or someone like that. I just think that Watkins probably adds something more that Bamford doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, I see Bamford as, like, the sort of Calvert-Lewin kind of, it's like similar to Kane kind of model. They don't add a great deal that Kane doesn't, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously Kane's an outstanding player, but so it's difficult to bring something that he doesn't have, but Watkins and Wilson, you've got that pace in abundance, I think, which Bamford and... Because you can cause any defence in the world problems without an out pace.
Yeah.
Are we all happy with Ings? And then...
I'm happy with Ings. Strikers and wingers, I think, is what we're going to go for. Now, striker... So we've gone for Kane and Ings. I don't think any of us want DCL.
Not really.
I don't really want DCL. So that means we're going between Greenwood and Watkins, unless we're going to put Greenwood in for a shout with the wingers.
I
would probably like to take Greenwood as a winger and Watkins as a striker.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I would say that I think for me it would be I'd take Greenwood as cover for both, and then I'd probably go for Henderson as an extra midfield. pair of hands or pair of feet.
Yeah, but when we stopped recording because we couldn't decide what positions we were going to choose, we agreed striker, winger, right back. So you can't really go against that now, mate.
Well, he can if he's changed his mind.
He can. I mean, it just makes the conversation a lot more difficult.
Okay, I'll go for Greenwood. And I do like Watkins as a shout, but then I'm like, where does Saka come into the conversation?
Well, Saka comes into the conversation if you take Greenwood as a striker.
I think I'd potentially be inclined for that. Like in a similar way of these players probably won't it for what we're talking about.
Probably won't even get a minute. Like.
But, they'll get the odd minute or maybe not even. And so it's like, I'd probably rather go Greenwood and Saka over Greenwood and Watkins. Like I see Greenwood and Saka being in the setup for 10 years rather than being a fringe player for the next five.
Yeah. I would rather take Greenwood than Watkins for that exact reason as well.
I do get given experience, but then you've got to give experience to people who can like have the potential to win you a tournament. Like Theo Walcott went to the World Cup in 2016 when he was like 16, not in 2016.
Yeah, he was the youngest England player ever to go to the World Cup.
He went on the premise that he would go to more, but I think we left out Defoe, who'd scored like 20 goals that season.
Yeah, but then Saka, I feel like Saka and Greenwood have sort of earned it on their merits as well.
Yeah, Saka is. Yeah, he's brilliant. His numbers aren't amazing, but he's the bright spark in one of the worst Arsenal teams for some time, I think.
And I think, well, it's similar to maybe Grealish last season. His actual numbers weren't like outrageous, but like you can tell by watching just how good they are and like how much they've run the show, sort of thing, like.
You weren't saying that last season about Grealish, though.
Yeah, but that's because I didn't want to admit it, so.
I have my doubts about Greenwood as a number nine, I'll be honest.
And then maybe Saka, that means we don't actually need another fullback.
Yeah, I can kind of see where he's coming from.
It would solve a lot of problems, but him actually playing as a fullback in a back four, I can't really see. He probably could do it, but back five definitely. But
yeah, I don't know how much I would want it on an international stage, but maybe that's like a okay. I feel like
one for Scotland.
I'm gonna say this extra 26 and stuff, like. So we had basically got our team nailed down if it was a 23. So with the three extra, I feel like we should take luxury players that could twist a game, could change a game, and not worry about defensive cover.
You know what? I kind of agree with you there, mate.
But they
in a normal tournament, that would be the defenders that you take. The only reason that it's like extra is because of like COVID or some shit, but we're not really talking about that. So I think luxury players is definitely the way forward.
So let's take Trent.
No, I don't think.
Because you're talking about.
I think we're talking luxury players. I think we go Greenwood, Watkins, Saka.
They might not feature, but you're also talking about an extremely condensed season where injuries have been far more common, and the chances of players getting injured is higher. So if Kane does get injured, you're left with Callum Wilson. You're left with Danny Ings and Mason Greenwood, who's played there a bit, but would rather be out on the right. Like,
or Rashford. I don't like him too much as a striker, but...
If they're that luxurious, wouldn't they be there in the first place? You know what I mean? If they can twist again, they'd be in the 23, I would think.
Okay. Right, let's just give Ewan Trent a gig. He's not going to play in outfit. He's not starting anyway, is he? And then we'll just take Watkins and Greenwood.
I suppose.
It's also probably getting quite boring to listen to.
Never on this. Okay.
People like the decision.
So, I think we've got We're taking Greenwood as a winger, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that means we've got our final squad. Now, Ewan, I've got it here, but if you would like to read it out, I will also let you have the honours.
So, yeah, obviously, we're not all completely happy about this. And
there's, no, you've got to compromise.
Changes. Although I think there's only maybe two players that I didn't have in this. So, yeah. But, yeah, obviously, you've got to make compromises. We're doing it as a group. But we've gone for Pickford, Henderson and Johnston as our goalkeepers. We've gone
great keepers.
Luke Shaw and Ben Chilwell as our left backs. For our centre backs, we've got Maguire, Stones, Tomori and Godfrey. For our right backs, we've got Walker, Trippier and Trent. And then our midfielders, we've got Rice, Phillips, Bellingham, Grealish, Mount and Madison. For our wingers, we've got Sancho, Foden, Rashford, Sterling and Greenwood. And then for our strikers, we've got Kane, Ings and Watkins. And Alex, did you want to do the starting 11?
So our starting 11 in goal, we have Jordan Pickford as of very similar. It's exactly the kid we had in 2018. Defence is left back Luke Shaw, centre backs Harry Stones and John Maguire, right back Kyle Walker, holding midfield sort of Declan Rice, maybe Jude Bellingham slightly before in front of him doing a box to box sort of thing, and Jack Grealish in a free roam but sort of attacking midfield, and then we've got Raheem Sterling on the left, Jadon Sancho on the right, and Harry Kane leading the line as captain. Which I think that sounds like it's going to take us to Euro 2020 glory, especially as it's in England, and I'm pretty sure the only time that an international tournament has been held in England, we won it. Or was not? Or Italia 90? Or no,
that was
in Italia 90. Was not in England. No, the Gaza one. That was the Gaza goal against Scotland. That was in
96 or 98.
I think that may have been 96. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah,
we were 96. Yeah, 30 years ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. To any listeners that are still listening, which fair play to you, although it has been some great content, must say, it's been really good having you. I think, boys, I've enjoyed seeing you. I've enjoyed doing this.
Good. I'm glad someone enjoyed it.
Right. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Check out our other stuff. Follow us on the socials. Tell your dad about the content, and see you later.